Did you buy Uncharted?
No, although the collection was on sale on Best Buy. I was pretty tempted by that.
I mean, Uncharted 4? No, not even going in for that.
No.
I think it's high time we address this situation for you, Kyle. You're, are you still mad at Sony for their whole CD?
When was I mad at Sony?
CD debacle back when they screwed Nintendo in the 90s? Are you still like holding something against them? Because every time I ask you about these PlayStation exclusives, you're just like, oh no, I'm not playing that. I'm not going to play Uncharted 4. It'll probably be the best game of the year, as it has garnered so many positive 100% scores from people around the internet. I just have to wonder whether or not you just secretly hate Sony.
No, I don't.
Don't lie.
You secretly
just admit
hate
it.
Sony.
No one's
here's,
listening.
Here's the thing. It's.
I am actually recording this podcast. Right
I figured
now.
You were. I respect it too much. I don't want
to
pick
that is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard. I respect it too much to play it.
It's like it's like if your friend is like, dude, Game of Thrones, best show on TV, you gotta watch. And then they're like, oh, the new season's starting. Sit down and watch. And I'm like, mm-hmm. no, I that's not what I do. I need to get the context. So
even if like everything out there says this is a self-contained sort of thing and might be you know, the most story-heavy that the series has been.
I could do it then, but you said when I asked you that, like, it would be better if you know.
Well, it would be better to know, like, who these people are.
I'll grab the collection. I will do that, and then I will power through. I'll skip one. I'll watch a YouTube video of it, and then I'll power through that. 2 and 3, and then I'll get 4.
I don't believe it.
That'll take me. I don't know.
I believe you just won't admit that you have something.
Yeah.
Against yeah. PlayStation 4 exclusives, you're still mad.
Waiting for the PS4 to die.
You're just waiting.
Yeah, fucking just waiting. Piece. It's inevitable. I mean, come on.
POS 4.
Not selling any of those things.
All right. On that note, this is the Attack of the Fanboy podcast, episode 30.
We're getting old.
Yeah. I'm William. With me is Kyle. We're going to talk about video games, mostly video game news, because we covered Uncharted a lot last week. That game is out today, May the 10th. This podcast will be out on the 11th. But I don't know. It seems like people are really liking Uncharted. I think that's the thing to be doing this week is playing that game.
Yep. I saw a lot of the usual, you know, taking off work to stay home and play this, and it's a picture of Uncharted. People are, yeah.
Take
I
off
actually
more than
forgot
one day.
It. Yeah, I forgot it was hardcore. Coming out because we had talked about it so much. I was just like, oh, that's already out, right? And people are like, no, it's today. Today's the big day. So yeah, everybody's super excited.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see, you know, what social media and forums and stuff say as that game gets out to more people start finishing it. Reviewers seem to like it. Mm-hmm. You know, now that that game is out in the open, and I guess we can't really talk about the spoilery stuff of it. Never mind. I was going to start saying, well, I'm kind of pissed that this didn't happen. The way that they revealed that game and the speculation that surrounded that game, kind of led me to believe that it might have been darker. But as we alluded to, and as I alluded to in my review, as almost every review alluded to, that is not the case.
Yeah, but it's still kind of fantastic.
Oh yeah, still a great game. I just, you know, with the Naughty Dog, the part of Naughty Dog responsible for The Last of Us and the kind of ending that they threw out for that game, you know, you almost kind of expected it to maybe take a darker turn.
Yeah.
To end it all, but I guess it's two different series. Anyway, now that your Uncharted 4 has been spoiled mildly, we'll get into some video game news, and there's been a lot of it this week, especially on the Electronic Arts front.
Yeah, I didn't even piece that together, that it's been them just churning out news.
Yeah, they're like, it's our turn.
Yeah.
Well, we had Call of Duty last week, and we didn't record the podcast. We did record the podcast before the Battlefield, now that we know what it's called, Battlefield 1 reveal.
Yes.
We were just speculating. There were teasers.
We were told that it would melt the internet. And
that's right.
It came close.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it was
freaked out. The trailer was the top two spots on Reddit. Simultaneously.
There's a lot of Battlefield fans. I think you hit the nail on the head with your analysis of that teaser, where it said it could be both World War One and something mm-hmm. else, you know? Because it turns out that Battlefield One is an alt universe World War One shooter.
They actually kind of negated that it's alt universe.
Okay, so it's just straight up World War One.
Straight up World War. I mean, it's gonna be fudged. It's not gonna be trench warfare. You're not gonna be, you know, dying of gangrene and stuff. But it's gonna be
That should be your 12 kill streak reward.
Infect everyone with trench foot.
So what? I watched the trailer as it was going on. I didn't necessarily walk away impressed, but I never usually am like super impressed after watching a trailer one time. And I don't know if that's just from being disappointed over the years by so many games that have debuted well, and then you find out what this is and it just sucks. So I guess another word for that would be jaded. You have been following some of this stuff a little closer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on it? I mean,
I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic trailer, which Battlefield is known for. They have almost an entire team dedicated to making these amazing trailers.
But was it worth the shit talking ahead of time? Really? Was it worth the shit talking?
It was close. No, I would have to say. But it was pretty close. I mean, really, when you look at the reactions, they are completely polar opposite.
For Call of Duty and Battlefield?
For Call of Duty and Battlefield.
Well, but there is such a strong segment of people that just dislike Call of Duty.
Yes.
I mean, when you have the kind of numbers of people that buy Call of Duty, there's a base of whatever, 20 million people, and 1 million of those people hate the shit out of Call of Duty, and they will dislike. And as we'll roll into some news from Damien, where we've been following the likes and dislikes of trailers, the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare trailer has a lot of dislikes, and the Battlefield
most of any trailer ever on YouTube.
Oh, I mean, I guess that's just math, but the Battlefield 1 trailer has as nearly as many likes as the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare's dislikes. I guess that's kind of telling. I don't know. Personally, myself, I'm just not like, well, I hate this. It didn't seem like there was too much to hate in that Call of Duty Infinite Warfare trailer. I mean, they've been making these games for the last 10 years almost. Or has it been 10 years? You know, they're a little bit different. People want something different and they don't want something different.
Yeah, I'll say it's telling of a very extremely vocal minority. As you said, Call of Duty is going to come out and it's still going to sell.
I mean,
ridiculous amount.
It's a vocal minority, I guess that's true. However, it has 1.6 million dislikes.
Yeah, it's still
crazy.
It's got a massive
10% of the it's a 10% of 16 million views.
So 10% of the people that watch the trailer.
10% of the people watch the trailer. Just like, that's like every one of our "this is" videos.
So I mean, it's interesting. I mean, like you said, people ask for change from Call of Duty, and it feels like they've been giving people that, but then they're rebelling against it. And I'm not trying to delegitimize the complaints, but it does seem like people are asking for change, then they get it and they're upset. But maybe it's the wrong kind of change. So many people this year were saying, I really want another World War II shooter or a World War, when rumors started coming out that that Battlefield might be a World War I shooter, people were so excited. There's just, I think, a glut of sci-fi shooters out there. And as Call of Duty gets more and more down that track, people are starting to really recoil from that. They don't want more of it. And that's what Infinite Warfare gave them. And a lot of people will just say, whatever, I'm enjoying it. I want a new Call of Duty and this is it. But the people who are talking, the people who are hitting like and dislike are making themselves pretty clear. They want a more traditional shooter. And Battlefield is giving them that. Yeah. With something new by being World War I instead of World War II. There's a lot of interesting ways that they can take that game.
There's definitely some interesting ways they can take it. But, you know, I don't think that's for everyone. It's like, that's not the Battlefield game that I want. It looks cool, don't get me wrong. I mean, watching the trailer and seeing, like, the Red Baron flying through mountains and some of the World War One era specific weapons and stuff that they were showing, a horseback, like fighting with swords. I mean, that stuff sounds cool. Like, sounds like they could take that stuff in some interesting ways, gameplay wise. But I don't necessarily think that's the Battlefield that I want personally. I mean, for me, it's always been, you know, the anti Call of Duty game. And this one might be like the polar opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, they have always been close though, because they've been, you know, military shooters. This one feels like it's not necessarily, I mean, at least the trailer, we haven't seen any gameplay from it. This one just, I know it's going to be similar to other Battlefield games. It's going to have to end up being the same squad-based gameplay that, you know, it has been in the past. But this one seems just more, even though the other one is science fiction, this one looks like more of a fairy tale. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you follow me on that, but just the way that they're presenting this, it doesn't feel like World War I to me. It feels like something, you know, of their design.
It's definitely, it's World War I like turned up to 11, where, you know, World War I could be argued was a, if it was put into a video game, would probably be very boring.
Right.
The way that the weapons would work, the way that the combat worked, it was just very slow, methodical, and I'm sure that they're tweaking that. But I don't know that they're tweaking it so much that it's going to feel like an alternate universe, which a lot of people assumed it would be. Like, they already came out and said, there's no night vision, there's no infrared, there's none of that stuff. There's actually no red dot sights and all these things that.
So it's all era-specific.
It's all era-specific, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll have to wait until we really get a good look at the multiplayer in these games to get a full understanding of how they've changed. But I don't know. It feels like a Battlefield game from what I've seen so far. It just looks like one that has been changed a whole lot. It's offering something new. I mean, really, really new and really unique. So I'm definitely interested in checking it out. I am personally much more excited for Battlefield 1 than I am for Infinite Warfare. But of course,
you've made
to be expected.
Yeah, I mean, you've made that perfectly clear that you hate Call of Duty.
So many people have been making.
You're one of those 1 million people. I bet you have like five or six YouTube accounts. You just click through all of them. Dislike, 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 dislike.
But I have liked the joke that you pay $80 for Call of Duty 4 remastered and you get a free Infinite Warfare. I've seen it a ton of times, but it. I mean, for a lot of people, I think that that's the case. Like, people want right now the Modern Warfare or the older style game, and I don't know that they're getting it with Call of Duty. They're getting laser beams and spaceships, which, hey, normally I would love.
This is just first trailer, man. You gotta wait until, I bet Call of Duty still outsells Battlefield.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
You know, even with all those 1.6 million people
yep.
who have liked the Battlefield trailer, you know, I mean, Not to say that. I just don't think that World War One appeals to as many people as, like, say, Battlefield 3 and 4 does.
I mean, I think that that's true, but I think DICE's version of World War One will appeal to them. Okay. I mean, think about the videos that you're going to get where people are in Zeppelins or people are in the plane that they showed off where a guy is out on the wing in a gunner seat. Like, those are going to be really cool moments.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. It is just first trailer here. No real gameplay has been shown for either game, really, I think. You know, the multiplayer is going to be the thing that sells it. And, I mean, I think for those two games, multiplayer is what sells it. But we won't see multiplayer from Call of Duty until probably around E3. And I would just imagine if Battlefield follows the same path as it has in the past, that the multiplayer reveal will be around E3 as well. So we're going to have to wait and reserve judgment. You might get in that Zeppelin and be like, this fucking sucks.
This is boring.
This is moving.
What did you do?
Yeah. And Call of Duty might come out super different. I highly doubt that. I bet that, you know, it plays similarly. I bet Battlefield 1 plays similarly as well. They just can't change it that much.
Yes.
You know, the vehicles are going to have to, it's going to play differently, but they cannot change what Battlefield is.
That's true.
You know?
Either way,
then it's not nice Battlefield.
It's nice to see these two series diverge like this. I think it's good because we were seeing them kind of merging in a lot of ways, especially Battlefield was becoming more like Call of Duty.
Exactly. Well, they wanted to because EA was like, I mean, I remember this vividly in 2011 when it was Battlefield 3 versus Modern Warfare 3. And you could see these two games trying to be, you know, they were trying to capture the same audience so much that they were becoming very much alike. And no one in the, you know, old school Battlefield community liked that. And people in Call of Duty didn't care because, you know, their game was staying the same while people were trying to capture that Call of Duty money. And now maybe they're seeing that the Call of Duty money is starting to downtrend. And they're like, well, let's try something else.
Yep.
So I'm still excited for Battlefield 1. What about that name? I mean, come on.
It's an interesting name. I get what they're doing. I mean, there was never a Battlefield 1. There was never a Battlefield game. It was always Battlefield something. So I get it. Battlefield World War 1, you know, that would be...
make more sense.
That would make a lot more sense.
It does make sense chronologically, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the time periods that they have covered in their Battlefield games, this would be the first, right?
Yeah.
Next, it'll be Battlefield what? Negative something? Dinosaur
Battlefield
combat?
Zero. You got to have a zero.
Battlefield Zero?
Yeah.
Don't give them any ideas, Kyle. They'll just start going backwards.
What, the Independence War or what? War of 1812? Where are they going to go with that if they keep going?
I don't know. It'd be like the Civil War or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I guess we'll stick with some DICE news. We're done with Battlefield 1. Even though we could continue to talk about it for a while. I think we both have some pretty strong opinions on it. But nevertheless, I want to wait for more news because I don't want to just get on here and start talking shit about Battlefield 1 when it might be fucking awesome. And I don't want to sit here and say Call of Duty's going to be great when it might be shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we've seen enough of them to really know what either one of these games is going to be.
The internet has, but...
The internet has definitely collectively decided, as we've seen by the number of dislikes on that trailer. Which I think is mostly bots. But regardless, DICE's Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront, sold 14 million. Pretty good.
Those are good sales now.
Pretty good.
How many of those people are still playing the game?
700,000.
Is it actually?
No. that was just a guess.
That's high, I would assume. Yeah,
that might be very high, actually.
Stop at about 700.
70,000.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I guess a lot of people probably would have put that game away, but after those Blu-rays come out, you probably got another wave of
Yeah.
people wanting to
Yeah.
play that game. But yeah, maybe 700,000 is a little high. Regardless, they sold 14 million copies of this game. You know, there were people at my gym that were like, "I'm getting Star Wars Battlefront." I'm like, "What, you're getting Star Wars Battlefront for real?" Yeah, I got the limited edition PlayStation 4 edition. Like, really? You're like big Star Wars fans. People that you would look at and go, "This guy does not play Star Wars games," or you know, they just don't fit that mold. I
Yeah.
guess to profile, not that I'm walking around the gym profiling people and determining whether or not they play video games or not, but for them to say, yes, I'm going and getting a Star Wars Battlefront game, or I'm getting a PlayStation 4 just for this game, was a little bit, you know, eye-opening as to like how well they have tapped into the mass market for this game. So the 14 million number doesn't really surprise me all that much, but that's a lot of games to be sold for a debut shooter or a re-debut for the shooter, and I guess that's prompting them to make a sequel. I think we already knew the sequel was coming. Isn't that when the new movie's on the way as well?
Yeah, that will be, so it's what, 2017 is when Battlefront 2 is coming. And that will be episode 8, because Rogue One comes out this year.
Okay. All right.
Which, yeah, not surprising.
I bet that game's already done.
Probably. And it's very, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this one, actually, just because it's like, you sold 14 million copies of this game that turned out to be very lacking in content. And it almost feels like maybe they took their DLC plans and were just like, yeah, just scrap that. Bundle it together into another game and we'll call it Battlefront 2. Because it just, I don't know. I don't, and I mean, where are they going to go with it? What's Battlefront 2 going to be? Is it going to be prequels? Or is
I
it
don't. I.
just going to be the new movies?
They lost me on the last game. It was
Yeah.
so bare bones that I just. It just wasn't. It was for the mass market. It was for people who were going to play it a couple of times and get their money's worth. For me personally, it wasn't enough. There wasn't enough meat there to kind of keep me coming back. It was a beautiful game. There was great sounds. DICE is known for doing some fantastic sound work. It was a good looking game. It played okay. It just didn't have enough. There was something, some intangible there that it just felt a little uninspired.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I was super excited for that game. I mean, even after the beta, I was just crazy. It sold itself so well in those short experiences where you played the game a couple of times.
And that was enough.
And then yeah, you get the game in your hands and you're like, oh, well, the beta was everything. That's there was nothing else there, and it just fell apart after that.
Right.
And I mean, it's very unfortunate because it's such a good platform. I mean, if they could just take that game, tweak it a little bit, and put a lot more content in there, different game modes, different maps, all that sort of stuff, it would be a fantastic game.
Yeah, maybe they'll take, you know, critical the stuff that critics have been saying about this, and you know, the people who are, I don't say hardcore gamers, that want a little bit more out of a game that they pay $60 for. Maybe they'll take that in consideration for this next one. If they do that, great, I'd be on board. I would
Yeah.
like to see a deeper progression system, you know, some more, I guess some more modes, maybe some more maps for each mode, for the bigger modes, some more variation in that stuff. You know, that's what I was looking for straight away.
Here's what I'll say is my one requirement: space combat. If they don't have that, I'm out and done. Not even going to consider it, because that was such a big part of the original Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Battlefront 1, I guess. I don't remember it actually. I played too much 2. It blocked it out of my brain. But it was such a big part, and it was so much fun. And it was a huge disappointment that it wasn't in this one, but we kind of let it go because it seemed like everything else was dialed up so much, where the graphics were amazing, and you know, everything else was so nice that we kind of let some of that stuff slide. And yeah, now it's like, no, if you don't have space combat in there day one, you are doing it again. And I'm not going to fall for it again.
Well, you are a different type of Battlefront fan, one that has been playing those games for a while. I didn't get into the old games, so, you know, I don't have that comparison to make for me personally, but I could see where some of those complaints came from. I mean, I played the old games. I just didn't play enough of them to, like, have these strong feelings of where the series should go going forward. I just don't see it doing that, though. I just think it's a movie tie-in game. It is the traditional, like, it might be of higher fidelity and better quality than we've seen in the past, but it's essentially that, you know?
Yeah, which would be really unfortunate, because, I mean, that series was different than that. It had a lot more
to it. The heart of Star Wars Battlefront wasn't that, you're right.
Yeah.
But maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. It doesn't matter. Apparently, it doesn't matter what they put out. They could just stamp the fucking box with Star Wars and reskin some of these maps, put a couple new modes in there, and it's probably going to do exactly the same thing as before, because I guarantee when I didn't expect them to want to play that game, we had wildly differing opinions on like how the quality of Star Wars Battlefront. When I followed up with them and said, so how's Battlefront? Fucking awesome. You know, they would say, it is the best thing I've ever seen. They would tell me.
Well, but how? Say,
okay,
how
I don't want to be that guy in the short conversation. You're like, oh, really?
How long had they had the game at that point, though? Because, like, that's
a couple
that's
weeks.
Some people came out of the beta and came out of demos was, that was amazing.
Right.
And, and it was it only set in later.
Right, but he might have only played it a few times. He might not be like, he might have just bought it just to play it a couple of times. You know, people have different levels of discretionary income. And, you know, maybe that was just like, I'm getting, I'm a Star Wars fan. I want this. And I want to try it, play it a couple of times. Might not be that into it, but like, you know, just might sit down for a couple of times and play it a few times and just be like, this is where video games are now. This is fucking amazing. You know, for somebody who is, you know, plays more video games and, you know, plays shooters that have a little bit more meat on the bone of, you know, would probably, and I think a lot of people did say that there probably wasn't enough in there.
Yeah. But I mean, at this point, it seems like the Battlefront name has been
dragged to the mud.
Yeah. Dragged through the mud.
Oh, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I see it doing well. I mean, anything with Star Wars these days is going to do well. It'll sell, you know, a couple of million just off of that. But it won't hit that 14 million unless there's something there, unless they redeem themselves on that first game. Because the core audience who actually plays games a lot knows what happened with Battlefront, and they will be wary of this one. They're not going to be when they showed the.
So you think they'll lose a few million?
Yeah,
few million of those.
I think they'll lose a lot of those. A good chunk of 14 million sales.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because I mean you have that mass market audience that is it's the audience that buys Call of Duty every year. It's the audience that just buys the name. They might not visit video game websites and listen to video game podcasts or watch YouTube videos and stuff like that. They just, you know, they tab through their Xbox dashboard or PlayStation dashboard and go, that looks cool.
Let me see
this little trailer for this game. Oh, that looks fucking awesome. You know, because they've made good trailers for quite some time. But just appealing to the mass market, not many games can do that. I just don't see them losing too many sales. I mean, Star Wars hype is real.
Yes, it is. It's just, there was a lot of excitement around the idea of a new Battlefront game. And that's been burned. That's gone.
Yeah, but how many, I mean, really, how many of those old school players are around? Like, some of them are dead. this was like 15 years ago when these games came out.
People were ridiculously excited for a new Battlefront.
What, in the fucking nursing home, man? I mean, I am getting there myself.
No, it's
you
people
are
like, people like me.
An older gentleman.
I was a kid. I was in my teens, I think, when that came out. And so it was like one of those first big multiplayer experiences for me. Uh-huh. And so that's why it was big for me. And I there's a whole...
Yeah, but there's a whole lot of motherfuckers that are younger than that, you know, that are like, this is their first Star Wars experience. And they probably saw episode... I don't even know what the fuck it is. Six?
Seven?
Sorry. Episode 7 and said, this is the best thing ever. When I watched it, I was like, oh, this is the same exact story as they told in the first movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's people out there that just have different views of, like, what Star Wars is. And
I just don't
definitely
know.
Definitely people have different views of what. Okay, I agree. I mean, I concur with you on that. I think they're going to sell a lot of them.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much. Yeah. Over under, you're going under 14. I mean, I'll go over. I'll go over 14.
I'm going I'm going under 10.
Okay, I'll go over 10, and that's a solid bet.
All right.
Way over 10.
Unless if they show space combat, then. Then I'm not sure. It may be over 10.
The bet's already on.
First trailer.
Well, I think all this EA news came out because of their quarterly conference call for investors, second quarter earnings. Maybe, I think, would be second quarter earnings. But they also put out a release date for Mass Effect Andromeda, BioWare did.
Now, so was this a delay?
I read different headlines across the internet that said it was a delay. I don't know that they ever put a date on it originally.
I thought they at least gave a 2016.
Hmm.
I don't know. It felt, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, they delayed it. But I can't now remember if they actually gave a firm 2016 date.
Well, regardless of if they did or not, it will not release until 2017, which to me makes sense. The last, I think they've been releasing these early in the year. I know Mass Effect 2 came out in like January or maybe February. Mass Effect 3 probably the same.
It's a good question.
I don't remember. But yeah, that one will come out early 2017, probably following the same path that previous games did. That'll be another game we're going to hear a lot about at E3, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Did they say early 2017? Because if not, I actually don't think we'll hear a lot about it.
Yeah, early. They've actually said we will be talking about this at our EA.
I should have read this.
EA Play press conference on June 12th. More information to come. But they did give a few little tidbits of like information about the game for what fans should expect for Mass Effect Andromeda with this announcement. It's on the BioWare or Mass Effect website, saying the game was going to stay true to the Mass Effect series in terms of like delivering the third-person shooter combat and the stories and characters that BioWare is known for. But they also said that they're going to be giving the game, giving the players more freedom within the game. They called it one of their biggest ambitions to give players an unprecedented level of freedom for a Mass Effect experience, where you go, how you'll get there, and how you'll play. And I have to keep asking you these questions. Have you ever played a Mass Effect game, Kyle?
I played all the Mass Effect games.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
I love Mass Effect.
Okay.
I am a huge Mass Effect fan. I have a shelf full of figures.
No, is that the determining factor of your fandom?
Yep.
How many figures you have? Okay,
it is.
All right. Well, so then you'll understand that, you know, the previous games were not linear experiences. They did give you some sort of freedom, but they didn't really say like how they were going to deliver more freedom to the player, because you could go all over the galaxy in the old games.
You could, but I mean, really looking at them, they still weren't as open as a lot of other games. I mean, there was a very linear story there and a very linear path that you took. Maybe not the first one. The first one was a lot more of an RPG than the second and the third. And I can definitely see where they have room to grow in terms of making these games open. Because, I mean, if you look at the time that you put into them, they were not a Skyrim or a Witcher 3 or anything like that. I mean, you could sit down and play that game from start to finish, getting most of the main content done in, what, 40 hours? Maybe 50?
I remember completing one on like a Die Hard weekend for a review.
Yeah.
I just banged through it in like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, playing almost all day every day, waking. So yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't know, but I mean, were you a big fan of the original three?
Yeah, I mean, I love Mass Effect 2. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really good. Mass Effect 3 was kind of my... I enjoyed Mass Effect 3, but I didn't necessarily... I enjoyed it for what it was. I was okay with the ending. I just remember people being so fucking pissed.
It was a terrible ending.
Starkid? I mean, I just didn't... I thought it was cool.
If you would,
like, all right, that's the way they chose to end their game.
If you invested a lot into that series and like...
How could someone invest more than me? I played all the games.
Did you read the books?
It doesn't matter.
But that's how you would invest more.
No, that's not how you invest more. That's a video game series. Video game series that somebody else made. And how they feel, how they want to end it is up to them. I was so disappointed that BioWare was like, okay, we're going to change the ending of our game because of the internet. It's crazy.
But it was a pretty terrible ending. I mean, they literally said that people who played it.
I didn't mind it.
I definitely minded it. It was an awful end. They literally said before it came out, it's not going to be a simple choice at the end of the game. And that's exactly what it was. That's a whole different path, though. That's a whole other argument. Either way. So my thing is, like, I can't muster any excitement for Mass Effect Andromeda, and I'm not sure exactly why. I think it's because it's going to be in a different location, and everything is going to be different. Yeah. And I'm still kind of wondering how it's a Mass Effect game, but that's because we haven't seen anything of it, so maybe I'll get it. Maybe something will click, but...
You don't think that BioWare can... do the same trick they did last time? Like, I mean, Commander Shepard was a brand new character. There was all these people were brand new. The stories were all new.
I mean, maybe they will, but it won't be a continuation of this thing that I loved. I really got invested into Mass Effect, and
you never know.
Yeah,
you never
know
what they throw at you.
It's just at this point, whenever news comes out about Andromeda, I'm just like, oh, whatever. It'll come out when it comes out. I'll check it out. But something about it, just how they have to make it, different because the way that they ended it, it's not getting me excited yet.
Not yet, huh? I'm not excited either. But I don't like video games, Kyle.
It's true.
It's true. Let's move on to another game that I didn't ever play. Nor do I care that it's been canceled. Disney Infinity has been canceled. Apparently, there's no room in the Toys to Life category for Disney. And they've lost a shitload of money.
This apparently surprised me a lot. I thought that they were making a ton of money off of this. Yeah. It's almost a license to print money. How are they losing money on this?
Because there's a lot of competition that were already there and they came last to market.
But I mean, I wouldn't call Amiibo competition for Disney Infinity. I get that they're in
Skylanders.
Skylanders is competition, but they beat them.
They lost $150 million.
But if you look at sales, Disney Infinity beat Skylanders.
No.
Very quickly, actually.
Unfortunately, competition in the Toys to Life market became overwhelming in 2015, writes Scott Grill. Activision Skylanders went with the hook of adding vehicles to the mix, while Warner Brothers Interactive introduced LEGO Dimensions. Nintendo also successfully entered the crowded field with its Amiibo line of toys in 2014 and saw sales explode in 2015. Sales of both Skylanders and Disney Infinity suffered because of Nintendo's shittiness.
No, they're about Amiibo. Amiibo's brilliant. It's the best thing.
No, I'm not saying. I mean, yeah, but it's just there's a lot of people jumped into this thing, just like a lot of people jump into everything when something is hot, whether it's shooters or whether it's Toys to Life, whether it was, instruments. People just, when there's money to be made in something, there are winners and losers. Apparently, this is not something that Disney wants to continue doing.
Yeah, I also wonder, I would like to see their sales over time, because they did this whole thing of Disney Infinity 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. I bet 3.0 tanked, but I would assume that 1 and 2 did fairly well.
Well, it looks like what they're going to do is transition to licensing instead of producing Disney Infinity themselves, where they think there's a lack of growth. This is from an official statement from Disney. A lack of growth in the Toys to Life market, coupled with high development costs, has created a challenging business model. And that means they're shutting down Avalanche, the internal studio that developed the game. You know, when I was at the Call of Duty thing last year and speaking with one of the PR people over there who works for Activision, they were talking to me about, this sort of stuff, like how much it costs to manufacture items like these. And it's just not the same as printing out or pressing a disc. There's so much more that goes into this, so much more cost associated with it. These things have to be like super successful. And you kind of see it with what happened with Rock Band and what happened with Guitar Hero, that these things just have to be like knock out of the park successes for them to be worth it.
Yeah, Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and also like these things have to have shelf space. They have to be in stores. You can't just download these figures. So I mean, a lot of it does make sense, but it just, I mean, people bought a ton of these figures. I know personally people who tried to collect entire sets, and it's just, I don't know. I'm wondering, I feel like there's more to this story. I get that they lost money. I definitely understand how, but there seems like there's more here. I think maybe people, because these things are so expensive. I mean, people spend a ton of money and people spend hundreds of dollars on these games and get invested into them. And I'm wondering if when they released 3.0, people just said, I'm out. I'm done.
Apparently that is what's happening.
Yeah. I'll never be done with Amiibo, though. Nintendo will always have a customer in me.
They will be selling like a couple more sets, though, apparently.
Yeah, what was it? Finding Dory and Through the Looking Glass?
Finding Dory.
Sequel to Finding Nemo.
God damn it. Okay.
How are you not excited? Along. It's a new Pixar movie.
Okie dokie. Let's move on to something else I don't give a shit about. Pokemon Sun and Moon release dates.
Okay.
And regions have been unveiled in the first gameplay trailer.
This was fantastic. This was amazing. It was great.
You shit yourself?
Oh, I was so excited. Okay. Oh, man.
Why?
Because it's new Pokemon.
Does it have Pikachu in it? That's the one I know.
Does it? Well, we don't know that it'll have Pikachu, but it probably will have Pikachu. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so they unveiled the new starters. Let's see if I can actually... I can't name them. Rowlet,
Litten, and Popplio. Popplio.
Yep. Rowlet's going to be mine. I always go with the grass starter.
Okay.
Hashtag Bulbasaur.
Hashtag Litten.
Yeah, no, hashtag a lot of people like Litten. A lot of people like Litten. The water type, what was his name with the P?
I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, the article.
What the hell are you talking about? Oh, Popilio?
Popilio.
Yeah. I don't think his name's, I don't think that's how you pronounce it. It's P-O-P-P-L-I-O?
I don't know how he's Popilio. He doesn't look great. He's like a seal with like a clown nose or like a ball. I don't know. People.
What is this? Is this a, this is a 3DS game?
Yeah.
Come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I mean, aren't they just putting these out? Are they putting one out every year? One set of these games out every year?
No, they didn't have one last year.
What was the last one before that? X and Y?
Omega Ruby come out.
Oh, that was the last one, Mega Ruby.
Yeah.
I think either...
2014.
Okay, 2014.
Normally, they do one every year, actually, with like...
Since 1993?
They'll alternate with a new game and a remake and a new game and a... And they'll do the third game in a set. People were expecting that. They were waiting for Pokemon Z, and then they unveiled Pokemon Sun and Moon. Brand new generation.
What the fuck is it with these games that you like and don't mind them continuing to make these same exact things, but other games you like, oh, well, this is the same thing, and it's just over and over. I just don't like to support things like that. I mean, I think those are words that have come out of your mouth.
Because it's not the same. It's not. There's a ton of differences that they put into these games.
Like what? A couple of new starters?
No. They put in new new systems. You have new, like, dual type was a new thing where a Pokemon has two different types. Then they added, of course, online features. They added dual.
When they added online features. When was this?
Black and white? That may have been Black and White. It was okay. The first one with online. I don't remember. I actually did go away from Pokemon. I got back into Pokemon games with X and Y, okay. and a little bit of Black and White. I played some of those, but didn't get super hooked on them like I did with Black and White and Omega Ruby. But yeah, I mean, it's they really do add a lot that is subtle, and maybe people on the outside that aren't playing these games don't get, but like when I jumped back in, it was a whole new learning experience of figuring out how breeding works and how IV numbers work. IV is like a stat on the Pokemon, and EV, these are different stats for Pokemon and items. There's all this stuff that they've been adding through the years. It may be subtle, you may not see the change from one game to the next, but when you go back just a couple of games, it's pretty massive, actually.
Well, I'm glad you're excited for it.
Yep. We'll see what they add to Sun and Moon. I mean, this may be the
I mean, I'm not trying to offend Pokemon trainers out there. But I just don't get it. For me, personally. I've tried to even play this on my 3DS. I own a 3DS. I actually own Pokemon Y. And I just couldn't get into it. Or Pokemon X. One of the two. I just couldn't get into it. Though I do enjoy like something similar, which is Puzzles and Dragons, that 3DS game, which kind of has a similar breeding mechanics, even though it's not quite the same.
Yeah. I mean, there's just something about, you know, the collecting aspect of it. I still don't have a full set of Pokemon, and I mean they're giving away legendaries all this year, so I'm enjoying that. I load up both copies of my games and grab all of those. I don't know. It's just something about Pokemon.
No clue what that even means.
Which they also revealed.
Legendary Pokemon?
Yeah. They revealed the new legendaries for Sun and Moon. They look pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And there's a lion and a bat looking thing. So I don't know. It was, for Pokemon fans, it was a big reveal. It looks really good. They didn't seem to do a lot to update the game engine, but it wasn't running very well with the last couple of games, so I'm hoping that they just focused on that and the game just runs really smoothly.
Hmm. Fuck Pokemon. All right, Rainbow on the other side of the, I take back everything I said. Fuck Pokemon. On the other side of the spectrum, where people like shooting things, Rainbow Six Siege will continue its free downloadable content scheme. I like to call these things schemes because... That's what they are. Operation Dustline downloadable content comes out on Wednesday, tomorrow, when this podcast is live on May 11th. Do you know how they're doing this stuff?
No, I actually haven't followed.
Well, let me explain it to you.
Okay.
They are dropping two new characters. The way Rainbow Six Siege works is there's a number of like objective-based game modes. It's multiplayer-centric, and there's attackers and defenders. And you have to buy every character with in-game currency. You start out with no characters. You play as a recruit with no abilities. And then you buy each character for like... I think they start at 500 and they gradually go up in each sub-segment. Well, they're releasing two more characters who will cost 25,000 in-game currency per piece as free DLC.
Now, can you buy this in-game currency?
You can buy these characters if you want. You can also buy a season pass, which gives you access to all the characters. It's like a $29.99. It is definitely a DLC scheme. On one hand, I'm happy that I don't have to purchase the season pass for this game because, hey, I could just earn them if I really want to sit down and like really grind it out. Because I've been playing this game maybe 3 days a week for the past, I don't know, 3 months, and I have 20,000 credits. And that's
really?
Not, and they've
that's
already
not enough to get it.
Not even one character, and there's four characters out there. So there's two characters from the previous DLC plus a new map, and this new DLC, but two more characters and a new map. Well, the maps are free, which is cool because you know new maps. Who's going to complain about new maps?
Yep.
This one's set in the Middle East at a border checkpoint. Featuring a mix of old and new construction with open air pathways, making it the most destructible and open map to date, per a Ubisoft press release. Two new operators will be from the U.S. Navy SEAL branch. The other operators come from across the globe, the ones that come with the game, just the vanilla Rainbow Six. And they've kind of been adding in characters with different abilities. So each character has different abilities. These two have unique abilities. The one has a sticky camera where they can deploy them anywhere on the map and can kind of switch in and give the team a tactical advantage. And then the other character has a transparent armored rifle shield, which it can kind of walk behind while shooting, which is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the sticky cam seems a little odd since don't a lot of characters have remote controlled cameras?
They do, but I'm not sure what... I watched the video for this, and I don't know, maybe the... I think might be able to shock people with these things.
Oh, okay. Can't the remote one shock?
No. You can. There is a character that you can use a remote drone to shock people with, but they're not. It's not standard on every drone.
Okay.
I'm really liking this game. I think it's the best game Ubisoft's put out in a while. Personally,
I played
best multiplayer game.
I played the beta and I really enjoyed it, but I didn't pick up the actual game when it came out. But people, I mean, it seemed to definitely lose a lot of the excitement just because it had a lot of excitement. I mean, people were blown away by that E3 reveal that came out, and it kind of went downhill after that. But it seems like it's built up a pretty decent community.
Definitely. I think it's one of those games, the bigger, oh my goodness, the further you dig into it, the better you get, the more, you know, familiar you get, and the more on the same page you get with your teammates, the more fun it is, because it requires a lot of, like, timing and, you know, using multiple characters together. Like, I have a couple friends that I play with often, and we all use, you know, we know each other's characters, what we're going to use. One guy uses, I use a sniper. He uses a guy who takes out all the walls. I stay in the back and shoot through these walls and take. I mean, there's a lot of different strategy you can use in this game. It has definitely. I remember talking about it, last year or whatever, and saying, well, is it just going to be the same thing? Are people going to learn like how to win strategies? And it's every match is still fairly different. And I'm playing it for 6 months or almost. It is still holding my interest, so I felt the need to mention it here on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like they did a good job of still maintaining that tactical team-based game.
Absolutely. That's what they were shooting for, and they nailed it.
Yeah. I wish that I had more people to play with. That may have kept me into the game.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the things that drives people away from this game. Playing it by yourself sucks. I mean, you can lone wolf it, but it's way more fun to play with a team just because you're helping each other out and you're talking, and it is like that E3 video when you have a full team of players that are like really working together. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you remember how they did that where it's like, Bravo, Charlie, yes. Echo Niner, throw a grenade through here.
We got two tangos in the top right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not quite that. We don't get quite that deep, but it's close. No, it's not even close to that. It's just talking among friends. There's no tango. There's
bunch
no,
of assholes there's up no, in the there's top no tango. Floor.
Yeah. This cocksucker fucking shot me. Assholes behind the fucking window. Yeah, but I'm having a lot of fun with Rainbow Six. I think a lot of people are playing it. I never have a hard time getting a match on the Xbox One even. So it's hard to tell. But yeah, I kind of wish maybe it didn't get the reception it did because it's hard to even... I believe I reviewed this game, and it's hard to even get the most out of it while you're reviewing something like this because... You really have to dig in and learn all the maps to really, really like understand the beauty of it, actually. And other than that, we got new releases this week of Uncharted. Uncharted 4. Kyle, we've already established that you hate this game and you are not buying it. I reviewed it. I gave it 4.5 out of 5. I love it. I'm going to jump back in there and see if multiplayer is working. Because if it's not, I got to update that review. We got Doom coming out. This week.
Yeah, there's no review copies going out for Doom.
What the fuck? Doom is coming out. The new Doom is coming out this week. And yeah, that's right. I read that. No review copies. That does not surprise me.
So take that as you will.
I fucking hated the beta. I was like, what the fuck is this? That makes a lot of sense. And then, Disney Art Academy, since Disney's going out of business in the video games department, maybe... Who knows what's going on?
Cancel
with that.
It at the last minute.
Like maybe they did. Who knows? Dean expressed some interest in that. I don't know who I would contact. Next week's before our podcast, probably Homefront: The Revolution, Shadow of the Beast, and Valkyria Chronicles Remastered. That'll be before we talk again. So there are some games coming out. I bet Doom bombs.
I think it will. Yeah,
I mean, that's like the telltale sign that this game is going to suck.
Yeah, that was already bad, but it feels like there's just not a lot of people excited for it. There's not that fervor that you get before a big shooter.
You played the beta, right?
I did. I actually didn't mind it too much. I had
oh, that's
some
fucking great.
It.
I didn't mind it. I'll pay $60.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
it.
I wasn't excited for it, but I was a big Doom player back in the day.
It.
I played Doom 3. I enjoyed Doom 3.
I played plenty of Doom games before, but that game feels dated.
Yeah, which maybe it's intentionally dated. They really did try to revamp the old arena shooter style, but maybe there's a reason that it kind of went away.
There's a reason why those games like aren't being made anymore.
Yeah, at least not without some heavy modernization. I think Lawbreakers is a good example of... From what little I played, yep. of an arena shooter that takes a lot of modern stuff and puts it on top to make it a more cohesive experience.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to shit on it. It could be good. I remember being extremely negative about Wolfenstein. And then when that game came out, I was like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome. The latest Wolfenstein games. So, you never know. Bethesda could pull, or id could pull here, and Doom could be great. It is id Software, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Who knows? But not sending review copies out is probably a good indicator that this one is not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. And they cited, like, that multiplayer is a big part of the game, which I guess it is, but there's a big single player component to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. We never know. It's, you know, it could just be that they're avoiding spoilers or something. Who knows? But it is.
But we're going to let Uncharted 4 Thief's End out into the wild 2 weeks early. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you got something good, you put it out there and you let people experience it.
Yeah, and that's true.
And spread the word of this is fucking really good. There's a reason. Probably if you tracked, if we could keep track of which games come out and are given, you know, the greatest games that I've ever reviewed and played are the ones you always get them way ahead of time. And you get plenty of time to spend with them because they know they have something good there. You know, usually if something's bad, you'll get less time with it.
Yeah.
so you can't actually determine how bad it is. Regardless, we'll see what happens with that. That'll be out on the 13th. Good God. They're really trying to sneak that one out of the fucking basement. Okay. Do we have anything else to add to the podcast for number 30? Kyle, any news? Any games you've been playing? You still fucking VR'd up? You
sold, VR'd up. I got audio
robbed
sheets.
Somebody.
If you've been following Vive, everyone is talking about Audio Shield, and it is just as good as everyone says it is. Very, mm-hmm. very fun.
You gonna review any of these games for us?
I could. They've all been out for over like a month. I'm thinking mm-hmm. about maybe a top five, you know, top five VR games,
mm-hmm.
something like that. So, look out for that.
Is it a full game, or these things is still just kind of like work in progress sort of stuff?
A lot of them are work in progress. Some others are full games, but they're full games in the very small sense where they're usually like wave-based stuff. You know, almost all of them are early access or at least promising a lot of changes. It's very early on for this stuff.
Take the fucking headset off and go buy Uncharted 4. How about that?
Maybe. I'm going to get the Nathan Drake collection. It's on sale at Best Buy. If anyone else needs it.
You don't want to disrespect the franchise. Fuck out of here. All right, that will do it for Attack of the Fanboy podcast number 30. For Kyle, I'm William. You can check out attackofthefanboy.com for all the news items that we talked about this week. You can also check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fanboyattack for videos of Kyle and myself where we talk about games while watching videos. And that's going to do it. Thanks for listening.